Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University Pastors Roundtable for the month of February. And we welcome you to listening this morning. If you are listening here in the city on WFSK FM 88.1 FM, or if you're listening online, our global family, what's up, y'all? WFSKFM.org. Reverend James McCarroll of First Baptist Church, Murfreesboro, is representing this morning. Our other pastor contacted us late to say he fell under the weather today, and but we'll have him back another time. Hope he gets well soon. Now, X, I meant to ask you, had you noticed what I'm wearing on my neck? It's the First Baptist Church neck scarf. Pastor McCarroll came bearing gifts. Amen.
Oh, and are those for sale in the bookstore of the church?
Yes.
Okay.
You can get those. Yes, sir.
But if you know somebody, just kidding. This is mine, by the way. So I see you trying to covet.
Well, that's a great marketing move.
Yes, it is.
It's great.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
I like it. It looks good on you.
Well, let me turn it around so you can see, because it's so soft, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Now,
I like that.
That's some good advertising right there.
Is.
Yeah, so y'all be seeing me drink. You see me in the parking lot. Your mama see me in the parking lot with my scarf.
But I do like that. That is, I've never seen a church do that before.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's great.
That's way cool. That's the new dynamic ministry down there in Murfreesboro. Now, he also brought me
one of the books.
And you.
Okay.
I got yours over here.
Did you sign it, sir?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Yes,
sir.
Oh,
I like
really?
I like it when they sign it. It makes me feel
special.
Yeah.
So you can tell your kids somebody knows me.
What is his name? The pastor of you co-wrote that book with someone.
Yes. Yeah, so the first two books we wrote, I wrote with Pastor Harmon Stockdale. And
that's
Pastor,
right.
Oh,
Pastor,
Stockdale.
That's right.
Yeah, Franklin. He's been
here. He brought one when he was here.
He did.
That's
Yeah. Okay, so, that's you in there.
Yeah. So those were those two books.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, that book was really a tribute to Pastor William Buchanan.
That's my old professor.
Yeah. He
beautiful.
15th Avenue Baptist Church.
Yeah.
He pulled me aside after we went on an ordination council together. Matter of fact, for Pastor Stockdale.
Uh-huh.
And he said, McCarroll, I really want to write a book to help pastors walk through this ordination process.
Oh, wow.
And before we could finish it, as you know, he passed away of cancer.
Wow.
So as a way of bringing on kind of another person, that's why we brought the other guys on.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So you're author of two books.
Three books. So it's two. That's one in a series. So it's one on licensing preachers, one on ordaining preachers.
Well, I'm in the room with somebody special in here. I didn't know you had this three.
That's such a great tool.
Oh, this one here?
All of it.
Oh, okay.
All of it. Because...
So the first one is called...
It's called We Have This Ministry.
Okay.
So,
and it's a new guide for licensing ministers.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, co-written by Reverend McCarroll and Stockdale. Who's Franklin?
Pastor Devan Franklin. He's actually just being installed this upcoming weekend at Bethel, where Pastor Freddie Carpenter used to be.
Okay.
In Murfreesboro.
Yes, wonderful. Ma'am. That's another name for the list.
Yeah.
Okay, and your new one, The Faith to Forgive?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Talk about it for a second, please.
So this book is centered around the concept of forgiveness, which is not a new concept by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to make sure we took a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples, when Jesus talks about forgiveness, make a very weird request. They say, increase our faith. Not our love, not our patience, not our peacefulness, not our cooperation, but our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to look at that element and what it actually takes to forgive, and what it boils down to is it's an element of faith.
Yeah.
It's the ability to be able to have the confidence that really doing forgiveness brings true results.
What is it about forgiveness I talked about confession last week, but I mean, there's a tie between the two of those. It's so hard for people to do.
Well, forgiveness is scary. It's scary because the concern is that if I restore the relationship, will it be the same?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be really, truly rectified?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it is we don't begin with forgiveness. We begin with what's called the mercy ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this understanding of either I'm going to be a debt collector or a debt releaser.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people go along in their lives becoming debt collectors,
mm-hmm.
meaning they hold all of this stuff in that other people have done to them.
Right.
And that infects their character and their perception
mm-hmm.
of other people.
It does.
And then we talk about start this conversation on faith and what it means to have the faith to face the hurt.
Uh-huh.
That instead of me running from it and averting it, I actually have the confidence to trust God enough to
mm-hmm.
see what's really going on with
mm-hmm.
me. And then we walk into the faith to forgive, and then the faith to live a healthy life after forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just walk
through. There's such a relief you get from forgiving somebody.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And can you describe what that does to your, lifting off the weight off of people?
It does several things. Number one, it lets you out of a jail. Because most people that think they're holding a grudge are
yeah.
using it as a defensive tactic.
Right.
But in actuality, when they close the prison door thinking they're locking the other person in, they're actually locking themselves
yeah.
in. And so it releases that.
Yeah.
It releases the feeling of being trapped in yesterday's hurt.
Sure.
Second thing is you regain your brother. You regain your sister. You get a chance to not miss another opportunity for fellowship or engagement or conversation or laughter. Then the third thing, it gives you an opportunity to show what it really feels like to meet God, because you become a conduit of the love of God in a way that's unimaginable. And that helps you to see that even in a human moment, you can experience a supernatural love.
Now, I hate to leave the subject, but I want to go back into something deeper, into this forgiveness piece. It as you were speaking, something crossed my brain. I want to ask you about this. This country is grappling with issues of race and color, like in an unbelievable way that we thought it had been put to bed, or some people thought was put to bed. And you know, for that, when that formula works effectively, black people have to forgive white people, and white people have to forgive us. Are we expecting something that's never going to happen from them? And we know that for us, that's the only way we've been able to make it to this point. But there are still black people out there that are going to hate white folks forever simply because they haven't moved forward. How do you talk to, what would you say to those folks in the black community that are, because we're still getting mistreated, the Hispanics are getting mistreated, people of color. Minorities, anybody in this country is getting a lashing right now. So speak to that.
The first thing I would say is you're in America. It was founded. It was began. It was established in a systematic or systemic racial bias.
Yeah.
That's not going to change. That's like expecting Kroger to become McDonald's.
Mm.
Accept that reality first. That way you won't ask things of a country, even though it makes promises,
yeah.
you won't ask things of a country when you know its essential root.
Mm.
The second thing is, so you forgive them for what they've done overtly that was wrong and what they've done to damage our community, so on and so forth. But then after you forgive them, you have to make a decision. And that decision is, am I going to sit back and wait for a country to do for me
mm-hmm.
what I have the ability to do for myself?
Mm.
And I would argue that yes, there are some barriers
mm-hmm.
To African Americans that may be different than some other minorities, but there are also some lessons we can learn
mm-hmm.
from other minorities. Dr. Ming Wang was at our church this past
mm-hmm.
Sunday, and he spoke of coming to America with $50 in his pocket
mm-hmm.
and on a one-way ticket. And he said, I had no choice but to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
He was fueled by the hunger to become, even though he didn't know the language.
Mm.
And I want us to understand that we can sit back and make excuses.
Yes.
Or we can choose to say, okay, these are my circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
That's fixed. How I engage the circumstances and my personal vision and diligence are the variable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can choose to use it as an excuse to remain complacent, or I can use it as an opportunity to prove the power of God in the life of an individual that has faith, diligence, and a healthy vision of what they, who they're called to be.
Well, where do you see the community of faith? Because, you know, back in the old days, back in the 60s and the civil rights movements, et cetera, the church was like pushing for change.
Is that
happening now?
In some spaces. Okay. Some spaces. The need or the movement was more public. And so it was a community-wide push for the most part. Now every community, though it's different, we don't see that same, you know, we had Black Lives Matter, probably the closest link thing to a massive black push forward. I think the churches are the last stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
We're the last opportunity for our community to really do something great.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, especially in Nashville and surrounding areas, you look at the new laws as it pertains to parents being able to discipline their children.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the school systems, you look at communities, and you begin to say, wait a minute, our kids really don't have anyone looking out for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was at one of the local schools here. The principal told me 1/9 of the kids read at grade level that are African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the church, we now have to think much more broadly and say, okay, whereas we could historically depend on our community to produce this, now we have to consider ways where we begin to supplement and become surrogates for various areas of in development of education.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to say, okay, how do we train people to buy homes? How are we training husbands to be husbands? How are we training wives to be wives?
Yeah.
How are we training families to understand the biblical model of discipline, and be able to be a hub so that that family grows healthily and that the family has a proper vision of what it means to be a family.
Yeah.
And so, matter of fact, to that end, we've taken these next 2 years, our entire focus is on family.
Okay.
So we've taken 2 years to help build healthy Christian families, going into the Word of God, creating events, doing whatever we need to do to refortify families and to give the proper family vision to those individuals that are single. And primarily we're doing it because if you notice TV recently, and I can't speak fully clearly, but there are several different agendas that are going on that work against the biblical model of family.
Right.
And so if we don't speak up, then there's a chance that that voice may go unheard.
Well, and being though that would be the case and the family is fortified, because this is a fortification process that you're talking about, how is that going to manifest in the community to end some of this hate and hostility and prejudice and racism? How would you take what you just said and then those people that have been trained, as you're describing, what role do they then play in the community to level the playing field?
So here's the thing. Let me approach from two different angles. One, what role do they play? They hold the cards. The majority population in this country are the ones that if the ceiling's going to be adjusted, they will have to do it.
They are because they started it.
Absolutely.
Right, they are.
But from the standpoint of what we can do, one of the things we do with the First Baptist Church and other First Baptists in Murfreesboro, we do a thing called Legacy Day. And what we do is we actually went back into our history, realized we were the same church, but just in two different locations. And once every 2 years, we shut our churches down, and we go to the conference center, and we hold a combined service, and everything is shared.
What's the church that you worship with then?
First Baptist Church.
I mean, yours?
Yeah, it's both. So it's two First Baptist churches.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
With the First Baptist Church, and then I'm joking. But, but we come together as one.
Is
First
one
Baptist.
White and one black?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And that's
it's okay to say black and white.
Okay, I want to make sure.
No, because see this. Okay. This HBCU radio, y'all.
Okay.
Attention, America.
Okay.
This is African American Public Radio, and we speak. I speak. I've been on the air 40 years, and if I can't speak in color, then something's wrong.
Yeah, so
I've been doing this too long. Don't tell me I can't say black and white. I'm saying it. Black and white, black and white, black and white. Because that's what, that's why everybody is so messed up with stuff. Because we're tap dancing and squirting at the same time when, oh, I can't, I'll just say it, you know, come on, breathe.
So you've got the black, the African, predominantly black First Baptist Church, predominantly white First Baptist Church.
Okay, because it wasn't making sense until you put colors in. I was like, ah, okay, I got you now. Okay.
And so in that space, we saw something interesting happen. Mm. And what it is we tell the people to sit where you want to sit, but they make conscious choices to sit in places where they wouldn't normally sit.
Oh, good.
And then
how does it look from the pew?
When
I mean, from the pulpit.
It looks the way heaven will look when you do. and there's a love, there's a congeniality, a warmth, and there's not a division between the churches.
Well, amen.
And so what we've done from there is we've started mission projects together.
Mm-hmm.
We've done school adoption projects together. We've been able to do a number of different services. That pastor's probably my best friend in Murfreesboro. And what's happened is because of our relationship, we were able to model that relationship for the people. And now the people's model is becoming the city's model. And we're seeing it begin to pick up even more. So
that's beautiful.
That's how we begin.
Y'all be working it out down there, don't you?
Yes,
working it out. I'm very impressed. I like that very much. You know, this thought just came over me yesterday as I have my moments of reflection. The thinking man put his chin, hand on his chin to think, you know. But I have my home alone moments. And over the years, there's been a host of workshops and trainings on a litany of topic. But I don't think there's been one developed yet that addresses entitlement. There needs to be, for white America, an entitlement workshop where it's all y'all in it. Y'all are understanding what entitlement means and how to shed some of that thought, you know, so you can at least understand. You know, we've had workshops on bias and all kinds of things on cross-cultural issues, but we haven't addressed the beast in the room, and that right there is leading to so much of the problems of today. So, you know, I wish y'all could create that in your model down there, because I think people could learn from it with us listening to, you know, at some point. But for them to address, since we know that's the elephant in the room, and I know it's going to be hard for some people who have lived entitled all their lives. They don't even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Like alcoholics don't recognize their drunks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and drug addicts don't recognize the havoc they're causing on everybody's life. But that, to me, needs to be a central focus, because our country is, as you said, rooted and grounded in history of, you know, race and racial issues. So I don't know. Is there, you think, now think on that, because we're going to take a break, because it's possible.
It is.
I mean, you know, to me, you know, with what you all have is a good foundation. But that process would be interesting to observe. I mean, not for that purpose, but just for the awakening that can happen.
Who brings the message when you all come together?
We both do.
You both do?
Yes, we preach at the same time.
Okay. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. See? Yeah. The white preacher could lead the way. It doesn't have to be him to lead the way. It could be the white man.
Well, the first year I started, and we go back and forth.
Okay.
He closed.
Okay.
This year he started, not closed.
Okay.
That's dynamic.
Well, imagine if he led his own congregation in that. That's what I'm talking. I'm pitching that to white communities.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'm saying that it's time.
That's an awesome way to bridge the gap.
Yeah, I mean, well, if in order for them to recognize, you know, if they truly choose to recognize, because some of them just want to stay in lost land forever.
So,
but there are enlightened folks out there that want to move things, move the needle.
This is true. So I guess my question,
don't ask it now, because he's thinking about my stuff first. You're going to mess up I told you I was the thinking woman over this weekend now.
Yeah.
And you're going to come in here and bulldoze me like I ain't sitting here and said all this. That was profound what I just said. Just shut up.
Go ahead.
No, okay. You get you on the other side. I told him to think during the break. You're going to mess him up.
Okay.
He's going to go all preachery on me.
He can, I'm sure he's gotten this question before. But
no, don't know. Wait, okay. X, wait. Right. I want him to come back brilliant on the other side of the break. You're going to wear him out in there with some scripture.
No,
anyway, let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Mainstream Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net. Be sure not to miss WFSK's Black History Month special programming all month long as we celebrate our culture and our history on Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 p.m. and Thursday nights from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tune in to hear a variety of music specials and biographies right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK, a service of Historic Fisk University. For What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com. Up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Okay, this is the show y'all hear. And then it's the one that you don't hear. If you feel comfortable enough to say what you said, because I think it needs to be said, Reverend McCarroll. Mm-hmm. And I get what you just said during the break. And I see X is gonna make you comment when he says this, because you're gonna understand it. Before the break, I asked this question. Because I've done trainings and workshops and been a part of them, et cetera, for years. And I've never seen or heard of a workshop or a training that dealt exclusively with entitlement as it relates to white supremacy or this nationalism surge or whatever.
So it exists?
What? Entitlement? Oh, come on. Now, come on. I know you were just joking. You was wink-winking on that one, okay? Yeah. Well, and that's why, I mean, I think that it would be a good workshop. We have workshops on bias and diversity and dysfunctional relationships and detachment and emotions and alcohol and drugs and mental health. And we got workshops on everything out here and trainings on every subject. But that one sits at the center of America's history and infrastructure and problems and headaches that we still keep having. And America still acts like, what entitlement? We don't know what you're talking about. Because of that, I was having my thinker moment on my sofa yesterday. I was like, And maybe a workshop like that could be helpful, at least to open some eyes. Not all. And I asked Rev McCarroll of Murfreesboro his thought. And don't answer till I come back. So we back.
Gotcha.
What's your answer?
Okay, so let me begin here. When it comes to entitlement, entitlement is always intentional. Mm-hmm. It's part of a process or a system that's designed
for making money.
I'm going to get to that in a moment.
Okay.
To keep a certain population mm-hmm. in a certain position
yes.
for perpetual benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always as targeted toward those it hurts as much as it is targeted toward those that will benefit
mm-hmm.
from it. So it requires, it sets an ideology. It's the setting of an ideology that allows a certain group of people to always be seen in a certain way
mm-hmm.
subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
To that end, you have to remember, America is a business. It's designed to make money.
Cha-ching.
It's a capitalism.
Yes, it is.
A capitalist government. So you talk about that, the top 5%
mm-hmm.
will determine what the rest of the system looks like.
Right.
They're the movers and shakers. They're the people that hold the key to the glass ceilings. It's that group. They're the ones that run, that are going to run the country. So there have to be certain perceptions in place
uh-huh.
that keep certain other, that keeps every group in check.
Right.
So that they operate a certain way.
Right.
If at any point that system fails, then it doesn't just, it doesn't, whether or not it benefits
not
the people.
Produce any more revenue. Okay, now let me interject
mm-hmm.
that the first commerce made in this country was the breeding of slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was it. That's what made America rich. It was breeding slaves, because those slaves were going to come back and do the work. So there had to be a breeding machine.
Mm-hmm.
And history proves that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is the case, the wealthy percentage of that time period, we would still be, the black women would still be the breeding machines. And breeding black men as slaves, and black folks would still be slaves if that group that you described was the controller over everything. So I'm saying that had to be broken.
Did it get broken?
Well, I mean, I'm not getting whipped by a belt right now. I mean,
there's a good book called The New Jim Crow.
Yeah, I had the author on twice.
So. I think the game remained, but the method changed.
It did.
And so now what you have is you have a mirage of potential equality.
Okay.
And now what we're seeing in this next generation that's growing, they're teenagers now,
yeah.
is they have a perception that they're all equal.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And so.
Because they were entitled.
Yeah. So,
felt they were entitled.
So the mirage.
So that
word yeah.
and what comes with it is not just a black thing. I mean, not just a white thing, it's a black thing. Because
yeah.
our children,
mm-hmm.
because of their material things, feel that as well up until recently.
Absolutely. So the best person to trick is a person that thinks there is no game.
Mm.
And so they play uh-huh. as though all people are equal.
Right.
Not knowing or ever being privy to black history.
Right.
The understanding of the minority's plight
right.
in this country.
Right.
Nor the overall focus of the systemic racism.
Right.
So back to your original point, or your original question about how do you deal with that? You may hear a workshop on entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
That we're white. We are entitled here. We get things you don't get. I've heard it three or four times.
No, I mean to cleanse yourself of it.
Now, the workshop that says we're going to equal the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to remove all glass ceilings. We're going to do... Won't happen. It won't happen.
I'm just dreaming.
I said earlier...
Yes, you are.
This is America.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now, if you want healthy black movement... Jamaica is a wonderful place to live. I recommend Montego Bay. See Pastor Francis.
They have pretty drinks down there, too, with umbrellas and all
that. And that was part of what, and he sort of went where I was going to ask, because when you
preach
that
message. They're never going to give it
up. Well, some might, but see, the point that he's making is that the structure is designed from the top down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you can't change, I mean, look at the President of the United States. He's exploited it to the umpteenth degree.
Of course.
And so that's what what this wall and all this stuff is about.
Yeah.
And so we may make some progress with what he's doing on the bottom level.
But we're
level.
Not trying to me, when you're preaching your sermons on Sundays, you're not trying to, you're not talking to Trump. You're talking to the people that are in that
pew.
But
you have to.
And those are the foot soldiers. Those are the people that make change happen, honey.
Yes, well, but what I'm getting to, which he's about to allude to, is that it does help the people on the lower end. In other words, all government is local. So if he's helping change hearts and minds on the local level,
well, that's
at
where
some
you start.
Point,
you don't look at the top. You cannot change that man at White House.
Get that, but that,
the
you
Lord
said
is going to have to do that.
You said that.
He's going to have to come. Jesus going to have to come down from on high and well, hit that 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue hard. Yes. He's going to have to hit it because that's the only way that man is going to change, because he has already shown us that he has placed himself above all things. It's Jesus and him, or him first, and then, I mean, in his head, that's what he has projected, that he is above God, and he is above these earthly things that we're doing. That's what he has shown, because you've given him the power to do that.
And we see that, but see, now it's obvious, because where it wasn't before.
It's obvious to two-thirds of America, but one-third is missing.
They know.
Well, they're twisted, but when he brings
the message, what I'm saying is that, and this is what my question was going to be, how do you challenge those here on the local level to think outside of their normal comfort zone? Do you encourage them to go shop within each other's, you know, we shop more at the malls than they do in some of the historically black areas or Hispanic area. So how do you challenge them to sort of come out of the comfort zone?
Well, I think there's several things. Number one, we have to get back to understanding the value that we have, the inherent value that we have. One of the things we saw here in Nashville in segregated times was there was a push for self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't just, hey, you're black and you are what they say you are. Mm-hmm. No, you're a doctor. You can be a lawyer. My mother, teacher. You can be whatever you want to be. And there's this push for inherent self-worth, that you're valued by God and you're valued by your community.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin there. Once they understand their value, then they remove their own glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to say, wait a minute, maybe I can write a book. Maybe I can be an artist. Maybe I can become a doctor. And they begin to broaden their scope, and their potential, self-worth and potential, begins to elevate. Once that happens, now you can introduce dreams. Now you can introduce new concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And so once they get those concepts in, we begin to see things like we begin to see our first female, black female vice mayor, just ran this past election, local election, and had the highest vote count of anyone in the history of our city.
What's her name?
Madeline Scales Harris.
Oh, Miss Scales.
And and so she won.
That's the funeral home Scales, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And she actually won. We pushed the black vote her way. And what people don't know, of course, black vote alone won't get it, but she won by such a large margin with no significant campaign push, with no significant campaign team. She just said, look, I'm going to run and trust the Lord. I have a treasure. I put my stuff out. I've done the work.
Amen.
And the churches pushed her in. So to your point, we began to say, okay, this is possible. And so now we're looking at how many more do we need to get in.
So y'all were empowered.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you didn't have a sense of entitlement. You just were empowered.
Absolutely.
Simply.
So that's what makes a black Wall Street. That's what makes those environments that we saw in the 70s and the 80s. It's because there was a sense of saying, look, we can wait for someone else to do it for us. Or we could look at what we have already in-house and maximize what we have in-house to produce what we need.
Well, that is why I brought this subject up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't entertain the thought or even begin it ourselves, because we won't forgive nobody or whatever, or move, it's never going to happen.
Absolutely.
And the civil rights movement and all other movements in history, that, you know, Moses, how many years did they have to walk around the mountain before they finally moved on? And it was 40 years, okay? So I'm just saying, there's historical behavioral patterns, as I mentioned earlier, that we just keep doing and repeating.
Absolutely.
So it's time for a cycle to change.
Absolutely.
I believe that in atmospherically, it's time for a cycle to change. And hopefully that will come in our lifetimes. Now, we are so happy to have Miss Patricia McCarroll here, who has not wanted to say a word up until right now. And she is not just my coworker here at Fisk Campus. She is a professor here as well as the mother of Reverend James McCarroll and one of our good staunch annual volunteers at the Radiothon, and we love her very much. Now, when Mama want to speak, she's speaking. Go on, Mama, give her the mic. Yes.
I just wanted to put a plug in for HBCUs.
Okay.
Because that's what we do as well. Coupled with the efforts of our community churches, mm-hmm. we take dreams, help mm-hmm. those kids take those dreams and become realities. And so I just think that's a great thing that we do. And we don't always think about what we're doing. We bring young people from all over the country here to mm-hmm. Fisk University. Mm-hmm. And they have these dreams and things they want to accomplish. And so it's up to us to help to make those dreams become realities, to empower our young people.
Right, right.
And so my son's a product of HBCU.
Amen.
I have a daughter's a product of HBCU. And so the bottom line is, I just want to make that plug for HBCUs.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, some people say we don't need HBCUs. Yes, we do need HBCUs.
Yes, we do.
And that's the reason. You know, young people come sometimes with just the clothes in their back and a few right. pieces of clothing. But we help them take those dreams and help them make those things become realities. And so
and you build them into adults here.
We really do. We really do. And so I just have to say that. I mean, this is my chance to say something. I just have to say that.
Well, and what you're saying is so spot on. Because, you know, we can look at you and so many others that have been shining examples. And, you know, I've been here in the Fisk family for almost 14 years. So I've seen a lot of freshmen. And I'm like, are you the same one who was here? And, you know, you see them 4 years later, and they are completely different.
Exactly.
They come in greeny gourds and don't know how to, you know, use proper English and can't answer the phone and, you know, this and that and Karen. I mean, I'm not talking about nobody's kids, but that's real, y'all. And not having a respect, you know, and seeing intelligence and, you know, grace and class, mm-hmm. and we look like you,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you can quit thinking everything, the ice water's colder on West End.
Right.
Because it's cold here, too.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that is, and I see it myself. I wouldn't understand it as much, Ms. McCarroll,
mm-hmm.
if I didn't witness it from watching them from freshman up to senior, and then seeing them on Facebook, and they're doing all, I'm like, Lord, is this the child that came in and couldn't even answer the phone, Jesus? Like, hello. I'm like, is that you?
We're very proud of our kids.
Yes.
Our young people
yes.
all over this country.
Yes.
Decide to go to college and become successful. And I think what we've done it with
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
What I remember most is the loneliness I felt, the separation from other people. At the end, drinking was no fun for me. Since I've started to attend AA meetings, the greatest gift is that I've become reconnected. I'm part of life again. I really like myself, and that's wonderful. AA is a miracle in my life. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And let me say, the 411 show with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, and also brought to you by our friends at Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. It is Pastor's Roundtable for the month of February. Third Sunday is generally the Sunday that we have devoted to on the broadcast to discussing the issues of the day with a team of pastors, and one half of our team is under the weather. He will be we'll be having him in later when he's better. But holding down the camp, holding down the campfire is Reverend James McCarroll. He is pastor of First Baptist Church in Murfreesboro. And you have been there how long?
12 years.
And the church is located at?
738 East Castle Street.
Which is close to?
MTSU.
Okay, y'all. So just take the MTSU exit. What time does service start?
8 o'clock, 9:45, and 11:30.
They know that you're scoring radio points this morning with the audience, the unchurched.
Yes, ma'am.
And some people that are listening on Sunday mornings are preparing for their 11 o'clock service. They're up,
yes,
paying attention, so they're getting an excellent dose this morning as we discuss some of the issues of the day. Reverend McCarroll has two family members here on the Fisk faculty, and they are very much supporters, staunch supporters of WFSK. One of them in particular is on the air here every Thursday on Health Watch. That's your uncle.
Yes, ma'am.
And his name is?
Robert Wingfield, Dr. Robert Wingfield.
And he teaches?
Chemistry.
Okay. And he's been here for a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's one of the hosts on Health Watch. So your uncle's a celebrity. And he loves it too, okay? He got a little fan club and everything. And also with us is, you have another distinguished family member here, and that is First Mama.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That I love her, and she's my coworker in this building. And Mama is a teacher here on the campus, and Miss Patricia McCarroll, slide in so we can ask, what do you do here?
Okay, I teach in the biology department here.
And you all are smart in that family, biology and everything. Is that a family thing?
Yes, sir. Yes, I have a sister who's also
scoot,
a biochemist.
Scoot in.
I have a sister who's also a biochemist. So the quite a few scientists in the group.
Are there a lot of black scientists that, you know, chemistry, biology?
A reasonable number. I don't have stats right with me, but a reasonable number. And Fisk is doing a phenomenal job of educating scientists and researchers.
Okay. How long you been here?
I've been here 40 years.
40?
40 years.
Oh, then you done seen some things, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am.
And some children grow and move on. Now, during, you were, Patricia, you were talking about the village and the concept, because you were a single parent raising your son, and he's turned out to be such a fine human being. Now, my question to you before the break was, if there is no village, and you have young mothers out here now who don't have a relationship with the father, don't know a lot of people, may be new to the community, where would you suggest they get their encouragement or empowerment from?
Well, I think Pastor McCarroll might want to answer that question, because churches are doing quite a bit in the for communities.
But if you're not churched, now I'm speaking about being not churched. There's a whole bunch of women out here, and men too, that have never darkened the door of a church or don't, you know, so they're not going to be so moved by any of this because they don't have one.
Yes.
Speak to them today.
So a couple of things. I think one space is because most kids are involved in extracurricular events or activities, school is the first place to start.
Mm-hmm.
School is the primary you know, primary investment, primary space that a new family in the community will seek. And so the first thing is begin with that parent group at the school. There'll be kids that are around the same age as your kids that can walk with you, and you can walk with them through the challenges and the struggles that come with raising a kid. And that's a friend you can keep over the duration of the school career or the school education career. Also is extracurricular activities. So when you talk about if a person is a parent and their kids are in hockey or soccer, whatever the case may be, not to just drop them off, but to go with them, sit in the practice with them, and gives you a chance to meet some families that may be present there. If you're single, we have a large amount of single people coming into the city.
In your city?
In our city, in Nashville.
Okay.
So another place to go would be to get involved in some of the events that take place in the city. Mm-hmm. So a good place to start would probably be Eventbrite. To go on Eventbrite.com and look at which events are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking classes and dancing classes and other
positive
workshops.
Stuff.
Yes, and you can go and meet people there, which I feel like I'm the dude on Coming to America the Barber when he asks me, how do I meet people? but then, of course, it's church. And even in the church, just because people are in the church doesn't mean they're going to automatically connect.
That's true.
So I had a meeting this week with a young lady that said, I've been here, but I really don't like meeting people. I'm not a big person that like trust a bunch of people.
Right.
And so even in that space, you have to be intentional. But I think that's the key word. You have to be intentional about not being in a community without being a part of a community in that community.
Well, so if somebody comes to you and says that, should them maybe being in a working on a committee or, you know, because that's kind of how I got to know the people at my church. Mm-hmm. I volunteered to help my spirit. She at the time was just a church member. She was having a Women's Day fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And I think I was one of the first volunteers because I just wanted to do something myself. You sometimes you got a merry-go-round's jump and you just jump on. Mm-hmm. And she has continued to be my spiritual mom now. Mm-hmm. And that was 32 years ago.
Mm.
So that relationship has been strong for 32 years.
Wow.
Because I volunteered to help her at a fundraiser she was having at Hickory Hollow.
Wow.
And, I mean, could that kind of formula work for somebody else that, you know, just I want to be, you know, let me fold the chairs or, you know.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
So, there are several models you see now. One is that, which is the longstanding model of if there's an event, participate.
Yeah.
But now they're doing small groups, and that's the purpose of the new small group movement, where you don't have to meet everyone, but you can get into a group that's four or five families, and you guys get a chance to meet regularly and grow in the faith as well as grow in community. It's a good way to plug in.
Okay.
It also provides an opportunity for fraternal organizations like sororities, fraternities.
Yeah.
They have activities. I know we have, and I'm an AKA, we have what's called the CAP program, one of our signature programs.
Uh-huh.
And that program is designed for us to go into public schools and to work with young people trying to go to college, right?
Yeah.
And to help guide them through that process.
Okay.
So there are other programs like that again, going back into the schools, and working with the schools and working with young people in public schools. And again, other opportunities for churches and other community organizations to work with young people in different ways. And then be creative.
Yeah.
I tell our students at Fisk, you know, you can be creative. You can become an entrepreneur. You can design activities. They have to complete, I think, 100 hours, service hours during the school year. And so the other day, we decided to come up with a project actually in my class where we're going to donate socks to young people in the community.
That's great.
Right? And so the whole class, the young lady came up with a plan, designed a plan, organized the whole class. We're going to publicize this. We're going to collect the socks. We're going to take them to a site.
Okay.
So teaching them to be entrepreneurs and be creative and figure out how to again, accomplish those.
And help their fellow man.
Help their fellow
That's nice. That's nice. Get some socks for them. Are they still collected?
They'll kick it off in a couple of weeks.
Okay, so I can go buy a couple packs.
By all means.
Okay, yeah, I can do that because I need some too. So that's just a good reason to go to the store, go shopping. Now, let me add, I guess this question for you, Reverend McCarroll, and for you, X, too, since y'all go to different churches in different cities. Do a lot of women still send their kids to church and they're not there, or fathers and they're not there themselves? You know, like the church bus will pick them up or the church van. Do you all see that happening out there?
You see it.
Okay.
You see, we don't see it as much at First Baptist, but depending on which event.
Well, the child wants to go and be a part of that, but mom and them, you know,
Might have been up in the club too late last night and can't, you know, I'm speaking real, y'all. I know. I had a life. But, I mean, are we still, people still at least to that level trying to get, you know?
Some.
Okay.
As I mentioned during the break, it's sad but true that most people don't even think about church. And so because they never thought about it, they never even introduced it to their kids.
Okay.
But in many cases, you see it some, depending on demographic of the area.
Yeah.
Most of our parents, we see them, they bring their kids to worship.
Okay.
So they're there with them.
Okay. Because I remember back in my day, some of the parents, they would put the children on the church bus, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Well, let me take this opportunity to plug in. And I'm sure he'll concur.
Yeah.
Vacation Bible School is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So that's a great outreach for families.
Well, isn't that how they get introduced to it?
Many of them,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Many of them, yes. Because, and I think the centerpiece of that is the transportation.
Right.
And so, but we experience the same thing that he's experiencing. We have youth that come,
mm-hmm.
and primarily when we went out to go get them.
Right.
They were called Jerry Maynard's kids. There was another name that we used,
yeah.
where we went out into the community and spoke with parents and at least got them to agree to allow their kids to come.
Right.
And we'll feed them in the morning,
yeah.
Breakfast, and then take them to service, and then feed them after service, and then bring them back home.
Yeah.
And so many of the kids have stuck with the church, and
yeah.
some of the families have come as a result.
Well,
but
yeah.
It takes the community
yeah.
to really to make a huge impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and to me, I would think like that might be a good opportunity for a woman that is new or whatever, if she's not willing to want to go herself,
absolutely.
to contact a church and say, I want, you know, at least for the positive influence it would be. Because
mm-hmm.
some people, you know, feel differently. They just don't want to go or for whatever reason.
But let me add this part. When we fed the kids, that made a tremendous difference.
Yeah, because they was hungry.
Exactly.
Right.
Because there are so many things. In other
yeah.
words, it's a connection with what we see going on in the school system.
Yeah.
So being able to feed them
makes a tremendous difference. Food makes
yeah.
you feel stable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you've eaten, you know,
yeah.
you don't have to be hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I worked in the substance abuse field. That's HALT.
Mm-hmm.
And when folks are experiencing that, that's when they're going out here doing all kinds of stuff. But at least you kill the hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you keep them connected anyway. You feed folks.
Yes, ma'am.
When's the next time y'all having a feeting at your church? I'm just playing.
April 28th.
Okay.
We'll do crawfish. We'll do a New Orleans community
what?
Cookout.
Crawfish?
When is this?
This will be my birthday on April 28th.
Okay.
We do it for the community, though. It's we try to do New Orleans food, that cookout. So we do crawfish. We do jambalaya. We do... we do gumbo.
What time?
And then we're right after worship, but we do live music. We do homemade hamburgers. We do all of it. We go hard.
Don't make me have to drive down I-24.
Let me know when you come. We'll get a parking space for you.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
What time?
It'll be right around 1, about 2 o'clock.
I could be there. I could slide on in the burrow. Y'all be looking up there. Is that the, yes,
we'll
that's
keep
her.
Place for you.
April, well, let me write that down.
April
28th.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So I ain't never been to the church New Orleans style.
Yeah, we have a lot of members from New Orleans, so they love to cook red beans and rice and all that stuff. So we do.
Glory. Yes. I got me something to do in April now. And, you know, I hate to sound like that, but, you know, I'm a single woman, so I'm looking for a free meal wherever I can get it, just like everybody else. I don't always want to bust out pots and pans. I will show up at your Women's Day or Men's Day service, and y'all got something to eat? Okay, I'll do it. But, I mean, it makes me have a warm heart for them.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, I do put off nice offering in, so it's worth it. I cleanse my own soul. See, I'm total Christian. I don't know about y'all, but I do work for Jesus, okay? And get a little nourishment, you know. Even the Lord had to stop and get something to eat sometime. So I'm
yes,
not.
You will
the,
show up.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. I surprise people all the time. I got an invitation for March that we're going to be one of the churches that's been on before.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've already told him I'm coming.
You'll be getting ready to make an announcement. You know how you give that look? Yeah. You see somebody, you think, is that...
I'm coming down with my praise team, you know. I bring my little crew with me. And, you know, we all prayed up and all, you know, feeling good about it. And you're like, is that Sharon Kay and her gang? Yep, that's me and my crew. These are my Jesus-loving sisters with me. So, you know, you never know. We might, because everybody that comes over to be on the round table, I like to sometime, you know, pop in and give them a surprise. And
we'd be an honor to have you.
Good, thank you. And you're going to see me on April 28th, I'm telling you right now, unless something, you know, keeps me from it. Now, service starts today. Reverend McCarroll, at what time?
8 o'clock, 9:45,
okay,
and 11:30.
Oh, so they have time.
Yes, ma'am.
They have time. And First Baptist Church in Murfreesboro is located where?
738 East Castle Street.
What's the best exit from Nashville?
Coming out of Nashville, probably 81. So getting off at Church Street.
Okay.
Get off at the second exit, going back toward Murfreesboro.
Okay.
Make a right on Middle Tennessee. Make a left on East Castle.
All right. And is it easy to find at that point?
Relatively easy. If you get to Mercury and you make a left, you'll see the flags and people parking
lots. Okay. You got the whole shebang out.
Yes, so I would recommend if they're coming just to park right in front of the church. We do have visitor spots. First time visitor spots there. If you want to get around the crowd, you can park at the satellite parking, and they'll just shuttle you over.
Okay. Now, just in the quickness, do you have anything? You said you have a program this week, this month. So you have something going on today, right?
Yes, just Heritage Sunday.
Okay. Yes, and the public is invited?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, excellent. Well, you know what? This has been the fastest time. I have enjoyed you so much. And I want to thank your lovely mother for having you. Not going to start from the beginning, y'all, okay? But also for training you up to be a fine young man. You really are. You are a blessing to us today and to your family and to that community. You know, I can tell that the members of First Baptist Church Murfreesboro probably love and enjoy you very much. Or you'd have been gone before 12 years. Y'all know how it is. But I just feel that because you're very, very dynamic and spiritually in touch and relevant. And that's what's up. Now, for people to find out more about First Baptist Murfreesboro, what's the best way?
Go on the website, FBC Murfreesboro, all spelled out, MURFREESBORO.org. You can find everything there. You can do live streaming there. You can listen to sermon clips there, archived everything. And I want to say thank you to you, Ms. Sharon Kay,
for the
wonderful opportunity this morning just to share with you.
Absolutely.
It's been a blessing. This has been cool.
It's better really than you cool. thought, right?
Well, I'm not going to say that, but it's been nice.
Well, it's unorthodox.
And to my good buddy Napoleon Harris, you got out of this one, man.
Yeah.
That you owe me. So let me know when he's coming
on. Because that put all the pressure on you, didn't it?
You owe me one, man.
Yeah, because I try to balance it out when I have two. But, I mean, you got it all today. Sorry. So thank you so much for being with us. And our pastor's roundtables are once a month, the third Sunday. If you're a pastor or you want your pastor to participate in these lively discussions, you can contact me here at the radio station. You can email us at, you can email me personally at skay@fisk.edu or go on the station website and click on that page that says connect. Our contact information and everything you need to know is right there. Could you pray us out, please, in the closing minute we have?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for this vehicle you've given the Nashville and surrounding community to be able to hear your heart, to hear issues through a lens that will honor you and a lens that will be of best, greatest benefit to the lives that it will touch.
Mm-hmm.
We pray now for Sharon to continue to give her strength and grace. We pray for everyone that will come into this station,
yes.
That you'd use them, Lord, for your glory and your purpose. We thank you for what you're going to do in this world through the power of the cross and through the willingness and the openness of your people as they give their hands and hearts to you to serve present and dying generation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for being with us this morning. You continue to keep us and be with us.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen.
Amen. I feel Amen. Good about that one. All right, Nashville, you all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.